We're so thankful that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts. Last week, if you were there, we've been talking about Acts 1, 1 through 11, and we talked about God's glory and the cloud and how Jesus is always, always intentional about what he's doing, and he has this beautiful strategy for us to learn from. So we're going to continue on and find out what he's telling his disciples to do through his strategy.
So much fun. So what I'll do, I'm just going to do a story summary of the Acts 1, 1 through 11. So here we have that Luke has written to the lover of God, Theophilus, and Luke is explaining what Jesus has come to do and to teach. And he explains that Jesus has showed himself and that he's given convincing proofs of he truly rose from the dead, and he has appeared to them for over 40 days, and he has given them a command: you are not allowed to leave Jerusalem. And he tells them, I want you to wait. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples, they begin to question Jesus about the kingdom, and Jesus is like, no, it's not for you to know these things. These things can only be known by the Father, because he's the one that knows the times, the seasons, and the dates. And it's set by his authority. And then he explains to them, he says, but you are going to receive a gift from the Father, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come with power. And you are called. You are sent to go be my witnesses, and I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the earth. And then all of a sudden, a cloud appears around him, and he begins to rise, and he is taking up right there in front of them, and they are looking up and watching him go, and two men suddenly appear, and they're like, men, why are you looking? He is going to come again the same way he has left. And so the disciples left, and they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. May God honor the telling of his word.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chair just orally told the story.
Yeah.
Using orality.
Yay. It's a good one to do.
Yes,
it's a good one to know. And so this is so much fun. It is so much fun. So, yeah. So we could say we had a Tara phrase today. That was the translation you just heard.
It's a terror phrase.
People are going to listen to this program this time.
It's like, what has happened
They've
to these
lost
women?
It.
So we had ended the last show saying that we were going to go into the strategy and that Jesus actually gives strategy to them. And this is so profound. He always was taking care of the people and always giving them a plan and always helping them to see the purpose and always helping them to figure out what the next steps were. They may not understand it, but he's always doing that. And for myself as a leader, it makes me realize that when I'm having conversations with people, I need to do that as well. I need to be listening in such a way that what I do speak, I can provide strategy. Like somehow I can be a benefit to the people that I am serving by helping them with the strategy. Mm-hmm. And that could be as simply as just asking them a question or sharing them something that God's taught me. But, you know, like helping people to know how to move forward, go to the next step or whatever. So these are the things that I put down that I see that Jesus did with them. He tells the disciples that this is what they need to do. One, he gives the command that they are to wait for the Holy Spirit. And I'll go more into the word wait here in a little bit. He says they are not to begin their ministry apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now that's an implication. That's not something that's directly stated, but get it. He says you are to wait until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes. How often have I, or how often have we sought to move before we invited the Holy Spirit to come with us?
Yep. Doesn't work out so well.
That one right there, like for days now, I've just been, okay there. So that one right there, if that doesn't slap you, you need to listen again. Mm. We should not begin a ministry or begin moving forward to do something for God apart from asking the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. The other thing I saw is that he wanted them to remember that the Holy Spirit's a promised gift from God. They need to know that, that he is a promised gift. And when God promises a gift, God's not going to ignore that. He's not the kind of person that says, oh, I got a gift for you. I have something. I'm going to be sending something to you. And you're just like, that never happened. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen with God. And then the fourth one is that they are to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why they're supposed to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. They will not have the power to do what they need to do apart from the Holy Spirit, because the things that God wants us to do in our own strength, they will fail. But if we wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when we see that we will be able to walk with the same resurrection power that Christ had when he rose from the grave. Mm-hmm. And that is pretty important. So waiting, inviting the Holy Spirit, because he's, as a believer, we have him in us, remembering that he's of God, he's a gift of God, and that it's through his power that we will be able to be effective. Mm. Apart from his power, we are not. That's so important. Mm. And so I just crazy. So then I said, the disciples were eyewitnesses to Jesus' message and his command firsthand. You have to understand, his last words, they were eyewitnesses to that. And so then I thought, okay, let's look at this. I don't know the source. This is really sad, but this is from a commentator, and it's something my husband found, and he shared with me, and he does not remember where he got it from. So I would love to cite the source. This is not my material, but listen to this. This commentator said, to wait means that we know it's worth waiting for. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. Anybody struggling with something that's kingdom-minded and you not know how to handle the wait? I'm definitely in that place. Me with too. Grace having closed and not yet having what I would call a paid ministry position. I have lots of ministry, but not anything that's paid. And so I'm just waiting upon God for him to show me what that would look like. But it means it's worth it. It's worth the wait. To wait means that the promise will come. Not only is it worth the wait, but it's going to happen, okay? And then to wait, and Sandy, this was your word, so this is kind of fun because you caught this. It means you have to be willing to receive it. Oh. What good is it for you to know that it's worth the wait? What good it is if you know it's going to come, if when it shows up, talk to the hand because the head's not listening? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have we stopped ourselves from actually having the effective power work of the Holy Spirit because we've not
received it.
It's just crazy.
Just like salvation. Mm-hmm. You have to receive it.
The key is, you have to understand this, the disciples could not create this on their own.
Mm-mm. Nope.
We cannot create the power of the Holy Spirit at work of on us on our own. We can pretend many things, but the effective working power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot create it. And we can't make it happen. We can't claim it to happen. We can't say, I'm going to say this is going to happen because, and I think that's the reason why the scripture tells us that if we're talking about tomorrow or something that's going to happen, we should say, if the Lord wills it, mm-hmm. because
we don't know.
We don't know. It is not.
That's back to the time, right. Season, date.
It's mm-hmm. not up to us. And then this is the hard one. To wait means that you're going to be tested in that time.
How do you really feel about it?
It's like, oh my goodness, why? Why do we have to have the test?
That's how we grow. It's so easy to say that, but during the test, it's like, ouch. Mm-hmm.
That there's going to be a test. And that makes me think, go back to when Jesus in Matthew 10 and Mark 10, when he's sending the disciples out, and he tells them, and he's like, if they have treated their master this way, of course they're going to treat you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What makes you think that if they're rejecting me, they're not going to reject you? Yep. And then I've had...
I have trouble with rejection, so that's good for me to remember that one.
Me too. I don't even remember where I heard this, and I know it's commonly said, but they say that if you're not being attacked, you're not being persecuted or rejected, you have to question whether or not you're really waiting and working with the power of the Holy Spirit, because it will cause people to go nuts when they are not a part of the kingdom of God. That's the reason why when we opened up this section on the ascension, we talked about the fact that that persecution that was happening was like, it was terrible what was occurring to the people in that time. And for Christians, this is something that they had to know. And that's the reason why Luke had to write this, is because he was testifying to truth to defend Paul in court. And so why would I think that it's going to go easy for me? And then you take into fact, how many times in ministry situations where we have waited and we've seen the movement of God, and then when the persecution increases, the attack happens. It comes after our character. It comes after our people. It comes after our ministry aspects. We want to flee when that is actually the very moment where we should stay and do what?
Stand firm.
Wait.
Oh, I'm standing firm.
Yeah, well, and that's good. Stand firm.
I just think of the armor. Hold fast is what I was going to do.
So. And hold fast. So we're going to stand firm. We're going to wait. We're going to stand firm. And we're going to hold fast. Okay.
Yeah, I think of the armor of God with the spiritual, you know, boy, we need that every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important.
So we can stand firm.
Right.
Hold on.
And hold fast.
Mm-hmm. Hold fast.
It's pretty good. I wished I knew who wrote that, because it was good.
The quote. I looked and I could not find it.
Do you know, I Googled too, and I couldn't find it.
Nope.
I said, who said this? And I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. We cannot find who he got it from. Huh. But it is from somebody. We just don't know who. All right. The other thing that he said to them firsthand, be my witness. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? Like, when you say here, be my witness.
He's talking to us.
Is it a command?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like, do you want to be my witness?
No, it is.
It's a command.
My witness. It is a command. It isn't an option.
Yeah, it doesn't always say he commanded, you know, so.
No, be my witnesses. Yeah. Be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness?
Tell the truth about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that you said tell the truth.
Yeah, that's so important.
Because I had some people that I was talking to the other day that were door-to-door, and they were wanting to share with me and about their religion. And we were talking and dialoguing, and I started asking them questions to get to the truth. And, you know, and so it's just, it has to be that it's the truth, to guard and make sure it's the truth. That's key. Okay. He gives them a command to go. So they're to be witnesses. The witnessing, what are they witnessing to? What are they telling?
About Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All right. Say that again.
About Jesus.
Okay. Not another teacher.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not another prophet. No. Not somebody new. Not a new revelation. Mm-hmm. It is Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. And so that's the key. The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
I love that whoever. It's for anybody.
Yeah. I love that it's the world.
Yeah, it is.
It is the world. So religion, socioeconomic status, culture, all the things, color, race, none of that.
That
is important to God. He says, I love you, and I sent my son, Jesus, to die for you. Mm-hmm. And if you believe, you will have eternal life. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And so he says, I want you to bear that witness. Mm. And then he says, and then when you are bearing that witness, there's something you should do. You should go. And he gives them four places. Mm-hmm. Okay. What
Jerusalem,
are the
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think about that: the Jews, the Samaritans, then they went to the Gentiles.
It's way bigger than they thought.
Way bigger.
That's why you have to wait for the
everywhere.
Holy Spirit.
In other words, everywhere. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
It's ripples. It's rippling out.
Oh, that's
out.
So beautiful. I love that you said that it's way bigger than they understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It often is, though, isn't it? I mean, it's like we don't.
I mean, even if we think about it, that's.
Mm-hmm. I want this right now, but you can't have that. But this may be bigger and.
Mm-hmm. It's going to go places beyond your expectation. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem is the place they live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem is also the place that Jesus was executed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so darkness is there.
Enemies.
Enemies. Well, yes. And that would be the Jews. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Judea would be their region. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is where Jesus' ministry was rejected. Mm-hmm. So the place he was executed, this is what he's telling them. I want you to go to the place I was executed. I want you to go to the place I was rejected. So that's where you're going. And then I want you to go to Samaria.
Which you think is unclean.
Yeah.
You view them as your enemy. Yeah.
Right.
And you consider that a wasteland.
Right.
So I want you to go to the place where I was executed. I want you to go to the place I was rejected. And then I want you to go to the place that you don't want to go because you consider them the wasteland. Like, hello. Like, this is not a pretty picture he's painting for them.
It isn't the friend next door that we really like all the time.
And then, as if that's not, he says, to the outermost parts of the world.
Yeah.
Which
long then, ways away.
And mine says remote.
It's like, you can't even, you can't put an end to it. And what occurred to me was, God has no favorites.
Right. Right.
And I was listening to a message. I'm sorry, I cannot remember who the pastor was, but he was talking about his daughters, and then he said, "Emily's my favorite," and you could hear the entire congregation went,
"Yeah,
I can't believe he just did that," and he said, "She's artistic, and she draws me pictures, and no wait, Patty's my favorite." She's analytical and she's brilliant and she thinks about things that I can't even begin to comprehend. No, wait. Catherine's my favorite because she's a dancer and she likes movement. And do you see how each of them, because of who they are, unique, that is what makes them special? And so it was like a beautiful illustration that he did in showing that that's how we should be with the heart of God. God's heart is for the nations, and that we should be on mission for the nations. And so that's what Jesus wanted them to see. And we have 20 seconds left. I'm glad you looked up, Carrie. And so we're so glad you've been listening because you need to come back because we're not done. We still have just a little bit left. We can learn about the ascension. And so we're so glad you're listening and we're looking forward to sharing a little more with you. So come back. God bless.